California, where powerful Santa Ana winds have calmed little but not enough to stop several fires from continuing to spread. In Orange County, one fire forced thousands of people from their homes. Two firefighters were injured. In the United Kingdom, regulators are pushing back against criticism that they acted too quickly in authorizing a COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use. The government says it closely reviewed the data and has concluded that the vaccine's safe and effective. UK health officials are launching a media blitz to fight disinformation and reassure a skeptical public. The Dow has closed up 248 points to end the day at 30,218. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include AT&T, committed to keeping students and teachers connected. AT&T has connected over 200 million students with tools and technology for distance learning. More at AT&T.com/remote learning.
It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Thanks for joining us here on the Big Powerhouse, 89.1 FM, WLPR.
It's your local station right here in Merrillville.
Mm-hmm. Live and local.
Live and local. What, you had your pledge drive, right?
We are still. Yeah, we have a pledge drive. Today is the last day of the on-air portion of our winter 2020 pledge drive, membership drive. Yes, we are indeed inviting people to call and become members. 877-910-8989 is the number to call, or go to lakeshorepublicradio.org/give. And, you know, you'll feel totally good about it because you're supporting
me.
Something great. Nick.
You.
Me.
Tom Lounges. The microphones.
Yeah.
The headsets.
Local voices.
All that stuff.
These local voices.
Right.
Everybody,
you know, giving the opportunity to bring in local restaurants, mm-hmm. baristas.
Yeah, and there's
brewers.
Too much talent here not to display it.
You know, it's crazy how it's like sometimes I feel like I find places and it's like I found a needle in a haystack.
That's beautiful.
And this place is a brand new operation. I mean, they're like baby soft right now.
You're like good at finding needles in haystacks, aren't you? I mean, you are.
You see all the pokes I have in my fingers?
I can see that, yeah.
It's not the knives I use. I never cut myself on a knife, Sharon.
It's all that work that you've been doing.
Yeah, so how's things been?
Been good. Yeah. Been really good. Yeah.
So,
membership drive was doing well. We're still kind of, you know, working on less people because of COVID, but, you know, we're trying to stay safe.
You feel a little sleepy today?
No,
pick me up.
I'm all good.
You sure?
Well, you know what? I actually always could use a little more go-go juice.
A little more go-go
juice.
Yeah,
I'm good with that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know it's a beautiful day out, and you would never think it's the first of December. I'm not the first, but the first week of December.
Oh no,
it's crazy.
I was thinking that same thing.
So you know what? You know it's sunny out, and I kept thinking up and away in my beautiful balloon.
Oh, isn't that right?
Yeah, I figured if we get way up there in the sky.
Yeah.
In our balloon, because we got, girls, we got our own 89.1 FM.
Start walking towards it.
Hot air balloon.
I figured you would
it's
be saying
blue.
That.
It's got some white. It's got that swoosh, like the lake water or whatever, like a wave.
Let's go see some sights.
Yeah, let's get up there really high. Uh-huh. And I'm going to take you to really a cool place that just opened up in Crown Point.
Oh, here we go.
Now, if you're in a different state, you would think there's a bunch of people sitting around doing something. But we're just going up in our hot air balloon over here, right?
You see that?
Look at that.
It's all about the adventure.
It's beautiful out. It's blue, crystal clear.
Beauty of the region.
Yes.
And now I can see Lake Michigan.
Yes, I can see it. But you know what? Over there in Crown Point. Yeah, we're going to turn. You got your steering wheel? Turn this balloon.
Just kind of lean this way.
Okay, we're going to lean.
And it works.
Okay, there we go. Okay. So, you know, see that tank down there in Crown Point? See the tank?
Yeah.
Right down that street is a place.
My aim
it is so cool. It's called Small Town Coffee Shop.
Beautiful.
Let's get ready to land because we need to visit with Elizabeth and Annette from Small Town Coffee Shop out of Crown Point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to join in the conversation, dial in 769-9577. That's 769-9577.
877, and these ladies have brought some gift cards, and the station will mail them out to you, so you get a chance to try this brand spanking new place called the Small Town Coffee Shop out of Crown Point. Ladies, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for joining us. I mean, I was feeling a little drag. I had a busy lunch, so I was ready for a little bit of coffee, a little bit of Java, something to pick me up.
I can always use that, actually.
Well, we're here for you.
Good.
Oh, very
well,
good.
Well, you know what? Annette's the first one that said something. Annette, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my first...
Wow, I open up some of this coffee.
Please, the vanilla latte there, iced vanilla latte. Yeah. My first job was in coffee when I was 16 years old. I fell in love with it.
Wait, 2 years ago, right?
Yes, just 2 years ago. and I was in and out of the industry since then. I worked for Stone Creek Coffee, a specialty roaster in Wisconsin. Took things to another level. And then I've been friends with Elizabeth since 2009. We were drinking a lot of French presses back then and decided maybe we should give it a go here.
I have to say, that tastes very good. So you've always done just coffee? Where'd you graduate high school from?
Kettle Moraine, actually.
Where's
in Wisconsin.
That? In Wisconsin.
Yeah, hey, you know that area. That's
awesome.
Well,
yeah, because I have friends that love to go hiking there.
It's great for
crazy
hiking.
Crazy for that
so
place.
Good. Yeah.
Got to go check it out.
Fresh air. Yeah. Lots of fresh air.
So it's basically always been the bean for you.
I love it.
Elizabeth, how about you? Give us a little background about yourself.
Well, I'll start with my background in coffee.
Okay.
I got into coffee right out of high school. Worked at just a little coffee shop, nothing big. And then
where'd you go to high school at?
Highland.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there are places. There's a few places like
native.
Yeah.
A local.
Yeah.
Native.
That's
cool.
My coffee experience was not in Highland though. I was down in Missouri right after high school though, and so got a coffee job down there. It wasn't specialty or anything like that, but it did teach me about coffee. And then I've just been kind of in and out of coffee since then. And when Annette and I actually started seriously talking about starting something together, I, at the time, was home roasting just here and there as a hobby with Annette and a couple other friends. And so when we decided to actually take this seriously... I got a job up in Traverse City at Higher Ground's Trading Company and learned to roast there. So
yeah, her pitch was, hey, I want to open my own coffee roastery. Can I work for you? I'm going to quit in like 2 years.
So
and
they were like, yeah, let's do it.
So girls, why? I know coffee. Why coffee? I mean, you could have put your energy in anything else, but why coffee?
For me, there are two reasons. First, I tasted something in coffee when I really got in the industry that I'd never experienced before. Like, it initially was just something dark, black, strong for that caffeine kick. But when I started to taste fresh roasted coffee, there were all these other flavors. Coffee has more flavor profile potential than wine. So I was just like, oh, it can taste like this? And that really drew me in. And then at the same time, coffee's great for gathering. And I feel like communities really crave that space still, even though so many things have moved online. There's nothing like that local watering hole, you know?
Well, that's good because you make it sound like when you talk about coffee, it's your job, but it's also a hobby too.
Yeah, it's a passion for sure. I'm happy to go to work every day.
That's good. Are you the same way, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I would say similar. I'd say for me, it was just something I loved, and I was at a place in career and life where I was like, I just want to do something I love. You
right.
know? And so, and then the connection and community side as well. Coffee is an instant avenue into somebody's life, and so there's just that instant connection. Over something.
Elizabeth reads the bottom of the coffee cup, I think.
it's an invitation to slow down, I think.
Yeah.
But how you know, you talk, everyone says that drink coffee and get calm, but I mean, isn't coffee caffeine too?
Yeah, but it makes you sit and visit, you know?
Yeah.
I think people naturally gather around good things, which is.
You guys gather around the sugar cubes? Do they do that? Do people use your sugar cubes anymore? I used to eat them all the time when I was a kid.
I did too. I loved them.
I think in the age of pandemics and COVID, we prefer something a little more sanitary. But sugar cubes are certainly fun.
They are.
We'll say that.
Folks, join the conversation.
769-9577, 769-9577. We're sitting down with Small Town Coffee Shop out of Crown Point, just open. How long have you guys been open?
Since November 6th.
Since November 6th. So they are like brand new. I mean, they haven't even scuffed the floors yet. Congratulations, really.
Thank you.
Because especially with the doing the coffee business, I mean, roasters, all that is very intricate. Do you guys have different roles in the operation?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
I mean, Elizabeth, what are you responsible for more?
So I'm responsible for the stuff everyone sees. I'm the roaster, so head roaster of Small Town.
Okay.
Kind of the background area, I'm more in charge of the financial areas and scheduling and kind of some of the more, I guess, by the book types of things. Yeah, yeah, practical, logistical types of things. So.
Annette, what are you more responsible for?
I make all the recipes for the bar. I do the bar training. I do marketing, sales, product development,
those sorts of things.
Social media.
So when you say bar, what does that entail?
Yeah, our coffee bar. So the latte you're drinking,
which is very good.
Thank you. Just developing that, and then Elizabeth will, create the.
You know what? I don't mean to be rude. Yeah. And you brought this coffee in. Do you guys want some coffee?
Sure. That'd be great.
Let me pour you some.
Thank you so much.
But go ahead. Carry on.
Yeah. So Elizabeth, she's great at making sure everything stays consistent. So I create it the first time, and then she reminds us to keep doing it the exact same way.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like this bottle here.
Yeah.
And this logo.
Yeah.
Who developed that?
That would be Oliver at Sawdust Creative Agency. He's in Crown Point. He did a wonderful job. We had a vision for it and some kind of requests, but he really he made that and really brought the brand home into maturity.
I think it's a catchy name.
How did you
name.
Find him? The creative person.
I had a good friend, Tony Sorcy. He I was looking for a job at the time. We were baby company. I think we had just stopped roasting on the home roaster. And I was looking for a job in marketing. And he's like, Oliver at Sawdust is amazing. You should go meet him. And he actually gave me a job. So I worked there for 2 years while Small Town was getting off the ground. And he was really impressed with our brand and said, hey, it's great, but I think I could give it a little, a little tweak, a little push.
Who came up with the name?
Elizabeth did.
Did you? How did that come to you? Just, you had an epiphany?
Not necessarily. I mean, we had gone through, I don't know how many names in our conversations. But I think one thing Annette and I always talk about is giving good things to the people around us. And so that reminds of us of a small town where... not necessarily the gossip of small towns, but the
care.
Just the care, and you know your neighbor, and so you're going to do a good job when they ask for help.
Right,
or
it's
when
like,
you're giving some, like, you're going to give them the best of what you have.
Because they're coming into your house.
Right, yeah. Right.
And you know them, and they're going to come every time. So it's all about, like, if they're coming in your house, then you want to put the best foot forward.
Right,
exactly.
You want to be
clean,
you want to give the best products.
Yep.
How did you pick that building? I love the building.
Let's
talk about the building a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah. We looked for a location for about 2 years.
Is it always like you're always looking for Crown Point? Or
we had Highland and Crown Point were top on our list, and we had looked at a couple spots in Highland, and for different reasons, they just didn't come through. And I was driving around in Crown Point and went down Goldsboro. I don't know how I missed that street.
It's right down the street from it's the tank, right?
Yeah, you turn right by the tank off Main Street, and it was there. And I'm like, has this building always been here? This is cool.
Uh-huh.
And there was a sign out front, and I called.
It actually looked terrible to begin with.
Well, yeah. I thought it was amazing. I mean, it did look rough, but I saw the potential immediately.
Right. I visited. I thought it was really chic looking.
We walked in, there was literally this nasty carpet over the whole building.
You guys ripped it up?
This old paneling on all the walls. There was two drop ceilings. It was
a
bit rough.
When I went there, you showed me a picture of what, bologna for 10 cents a
hot
pound?
Hot bologna sandwiches, 5 cents.
And boiled beef.
Why don't you tell us what the building used to be?
It used to be a fish and meat market. So that was a really old area of Crown Point. The railroad came in right there.
Right.
And the meat, that was built before the square, which is, I don't think a lot of people know.
Mm-hmm.
And, so boiled beef was sold there. And we have some old pictures. If you come in, you can take a look. 1870.
Wow.
How old's the building?
That's cool.
Did you say?
I don't know. What did that put it? Almost 150 years, I guess.
Wow. And it looks structurally solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our inspector said it had good bones.
Well, that's another thing, and yeah. I've asked you this before. You don't think it's haunted? Because I know every old building in Crown Point's haunted. I guarantee it.
I mean, like I said, I think it's the animal spirits that haunt it from being butchered.
You hear the Pink Floyd pig man.
Yeah, I have that.
Folks, dial in 769-9577. That's 769-9577. Give us a call. And get a gift card from a small town coffee shop out of Crown Point.
So when it's available or when we're able to, people can sit in this cool building?
Absolutely. Yep. They can come in now. We're masks, social distancing, all that. We have a few tables closed, but there's space for sitting in.
Nice.
Now, the building, you occupy the whole building? And is there a basement to it?
Not really. There's a little crawl space.
Oh, a little crawl space.
Yeah.
So is there an upstairs?
There's an upstairs. There's an apartment up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's good. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. So you're the inside. Just describe the atmosphere, the colors, the flooring, the walls, pictures.
Yeah, I would say it's the old meets the new. You know, you've got kind of the rough surfaces, the old brick, and then the real clean white surfaces of the bar that we built out. Yeah, it's a nice contrast.
And
good light.
Yeah, it's got a lot of windows. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of windows to that.
Yeah.
And it's high ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful place. People out there, you need to visit. I don't think people – how have you been doing?
We've been doing amazing.
Really?
A
lot of walk-up?
Mm-hmm, both. People driving in, they've heard of it, or just walking by. The neighborhood there has really supported us well. And we love that. So,
Elizabeth, why don't you give us the address, the phone number, and the time of operations?
So our address is 306 East Goldsboro Street in Crown Point. And then our hours are 7 to 3, Tuesday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 3.
Mondays. Recover day.
I agree with you. I have one too, and that's Sunday.
Yeah. And then our phone number is 219-323-3948.
Sharon, who you got?
Elizabeth from Crown Point.
We got an Elizabeth from Crown Point. Elizabeth, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, great to hear from you on a beautiful day like today. And you know what? We have another Elizabeth here from a small town coffee shop. Do you have a question for her or Annette?
Yes, I was calling to see what your favorite type of coffee is and what you guys would recommend for a first-time coffee drinker.
Good question. So I personally love the Sumatran coffee. It's nice and complex. It makes a great cold brew, or you can brew it hot as well. Some of the most popular for new coffee drinkers would be our Guatemalan and our Brazil. They're real smooth and have a nice chocolatey flavor profile.
Excellent.
Elizabeth, are you just the person that goes to a McDonald's for a cup of water, or do you... Do you like to visit coffee shops?
I like to visit Gloria Jean's, but if I taste the coffee, I don't really like it, so I'm trying to get used to it.
Yeah.
Now, Elizabeth, do you live in Crown Point?
Yes, I do.
Now, do you live by the tank? This is like hot and cold.
Yeah, maybe we're neighbors.
Yeah. So do you
live? I live in Lake of the Four Seasons.
Oh, you live in the Seasons. Well, that's okay. Over in the Seasons, we travel to downtown Crown Point all the time.
That's right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to send you a gift card out to Small Town Coffee Shop out of Crown Point, right down the street from the tank, give you a chance to try something new. And you know what?
Excellent.
It's not just about going to get a cup of coffee. The ambiance there is going to be different. So you're going to want to sit down, take some time, sit down in one of their chairs and just enjoy the scenery.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Elizabeth, thank you for calling in.
Yes, you guys have a blessed one. Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, bye-bye. Just call in, 769-9577, 769-9577, and either Elizabeth or Annette will give you a gift card to Small Town Coffee Shop out of Crown Point. Okay, let's get into the brass knuckles or whatever. But what really...
hard questions?
What this place is all about is the bean.
Oh, yes.
So how many different varieties of beans are you guys carrying?
I think 14.
Yeah, in between 10 and 15, I would say. We've done a couple partner blends with people.
Yeah.
So I think we have roughly 10 of our own single origins we're doing, and then we have our espresso that we're serving in-house there.
So where do beans come from? I mean, we know they come from what kind? Like tropical places, high...
Yeah,
elevation?
So most of it's coming from closer to the equator.
Okay.
The kind of area. There's a good, quite a few countries that we're buying from right now. We work with a couple different importers. Not our favorite, but we got a couple direct trade.
Yeah, don't say I'm my favorite because the other guys are all
no favorites.
Just kidding.
We have a soft spot for our direct trade relationships. We've had the pleasure of getting to know some of the farmers, and that's been really fun.
Now, how do you get to know these farmers, like especially the ones that are closer to the equator?
Yeah, so I can't remember how we met Marianella, but Marianella's awesome, and she started a group called Farmers Project down in Costa Rica. She's Costa Rican, and she's been living part-time up in Chicago here, and then she spends part of her time down in Costa Rica on her farm. And she heads up this whole group, and they do all their own growing, processing, milling, and then exporting and importing as well. If you want to do a show with her.
What's milling?
Milling, it's the part after the coffee's dried. There's a, it's called the silver skin that's around. And you just have to get some of that chaff off. So it goes through a machine to
process it.
Kind of, break off that from the actual coffee.
Is that the thing you always see on TV where they're showing all these beans in like a circular thing and there's a blade going around?
I think that's the roasting
process. That might be the cooling bin. When it comes out of the roaster, it drops into a cooling bin. I think that might be what you're talking about.
For a little bit of a visual, coffee, it sort of looks like a cherry. Mm-hmm. So we talk about it as a bean, but it's the seed of a fruit that looks similar to a cherry. Mm-hmm. It either sits in the cherry for a while to dry, or it's taken out right away, and that kind of changes the flavor profile. But the next step, which Elizabeth is talking about, there's a little thin skin on the seed that has to be removed before it can be finished being dried and roasted.
Mm-hmm. It's actually quite... Coffee
detailed.
Is quite a detailed process.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Because you said it took a long time to learn to roast, so it's like an art form. Possibly.
The roasting part, and then also just like Annette said, it's a fruit growing on a tree. So first you have to grow the tree, then you have to process.
So it's
the
a tree. I always thought it was
harvest
like a,
it well. You want yeah. vine, a really good pickers, so they're only harvesting the best.
Yeah. So they actually pick them by hand.
They do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are some farms that use machines, but most of the ones we're getting are from hand-picked.
So how many different countries do you get beans from?
About what we offer in our rows, because most of our coffees are single origin.
Okay.
So roughly 10 or so.
Well, Elizabeth, how do you get flavors? Do you throw a powder on it, a liqueur in it? Or I'm just asking.
I know.
I'm closing my book.
Totally uneducated when it comes to this stuff.
I appreciate the questions. One of our approaches was we know most people don't know much about coffee, so we want to answer people's questions and be able to educate and not make people feel dumb for their questions because it's just not something people know about.
But don't give them your secret recipes.
No, don't worry. I won't do that.
So the flavors
you
are
tell you, but
do you roast different beans together to create flavors, or do you
sometimes,
grind them together to create flavors?
Partly, most of our coffee flavors are coming naturally from the coffee itself. So based on how it's grown, how it's processed, where it's grown, what kind of similar to an apple. There's different varieties of apples, and they all taste slightly different, but it's all an apple, right? So coffee's similar, where based on the tree it's coming from, the farm, the country, how it's dried, how it's processed, and then how it's roasted, you're going to have different flavors in the coffee.
Annette, did you have to train yourself to catch these? I hear that this coffee's got more of a sweeter flavor. Mm-hmm. I don't catch that.
It takes practice. We do coffee cuppings. Elizabeth is always doing coffee cuppings just to really dial in on the potential in a coffee. So we'll get a coffee sample in from a farmer. They'll say, hey, this is a really great coffee. We're tasting, notes of dark cherry and maybe some walnuts. And we'll roast it and see if we can bring out those flavors or maybe find something else. And that's part of the fun, but it really does. It kind of takes a while to dial in your palate.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, are beans different sizes?
They are, yeah.
Yep.
Now, how long? What's the normal temperature of like when you're roasting?
So roughly, I'm starting roasts around in between 350 to like 400 degrees. And then, sorry, that's kind of a complicated question. The temperature drops for a little bit and then starts rising again. And then I'm ending the roasts roughly around 400 degrees.
So as I make, like I make soups and things like that, and I'm seeing something not going right, mm-hmm. I might make an adjustment.
Yep.
Do you ever stop the roaster and make adjustments? I mean,
I never actually stop the roaster, but
I do. You just press that button and let it go no matter what.
No, I can make adjustments along the way. Our, the machine we got is an all manual machine,
mm-hmm.
Which we wanted. Part of what we want to do is to be able to pass the skill on to other people. So I actually am training my nephew. He's my roasting apprentice right now. Yeah, so similar to, I explained it a little bit like baking a cookie. You can follow the recipe exactly, and it says stick it in the oven for 9 minutes. But when you open it, you can tell,
right.
No, this needs a little longer.
Okay.
So sometimes you can hit it on the nail, and it just follows kind of the profile recipe I've created. Other times, depending on the humidity in the air or what's something else going on, I might need to make adjustments along during the roast. And so...
Well, I'm kind of a visual person, so I hate to do this to you, but if you could like walk us through the process from beginning to end, kind of draw a picture of you know how it starts and how it ends and all the steps in between.
Mm-hmm. So I start with green coffee because it's literally a green color. So we call them green beans, which gets a little confusing. But
you look like lentils sometimes, or something.
A little bit, yeah. They're tiny little rocks almost, and mm-hmm. they're that hard, like. You can't. People have tried to like chew them. I'm like, don't chew too hard. You'll break. Like, you'll literally break a tooth.
Oh yeah.
If you, yeah, they're super hard. So I. Have you ever seen a roaster?
Where'd you get your roaster?
I've seen like pictures on TV.
Well, okay. Before you get into roaster, explain the roaster. Where'd you get it from? Because you didn't get it. You got it. Wasn't it made around here, like in Georgia or something like that?
It's made in Idaho.
Idaho.
Yeah.
You ever thought of a roaster, a coffee roaster, being made in Idaho?
Yeah.
Everyone always thinks of the, like German.
Columbia. Columbia.
Yeah.
By Diedrich.
Yeah. So we use a Diedrich roaster.
Okay.
It's what I primarily learned on. So it was just one that I knew. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pros and cons to a lot of the different. Roasting manufacturers out there, but I knew this one. I knew its pros and cons, so that's what I was comfortable going with. And we liked that they were a U.S. made roaster.
So now you're throwing the beans in that.
Yeah,
roaster.
So I'm throwing the beans on the top. There's a little chute I can throw them in, and it drops it into. If you picture a dryer, just this big drum spinning around,
mm-hmm.
Drops it into there, and they spin around in there. And that's when I'm.
For how long?
Roughly 10 to 13 or 14 minutes, depending on kind of what I'm doing with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm primarily just adjusting my airflow in there and then my gas temperature. And then when they're done, I drop them into what I think what you were talking about earlier, that the cooling bin.
Okay.
And they'll spin around in there for about 3 minutes while they cool down. And then they're...
Tell them about the trier. I
the
love
what?
The trier.
Matt loves
I
the
love
trier.
It. It has such a direct name. It's the trier. It allows
it's
you to
this
try
little,
the beans.
Trier. Little scoop type thing that
scoop.
I can pull a little bit of the beans out at a time and just kind of see where they're at. I can smell them and look at them up close and then put them back in.
So you say they start like rocks. So when you mm-hmm. roast them, do they? Is it what they do? They pop? Do they?
They do actually pop. It's called. There's a first crack and a second crack. So it takes a while. Basically, as it's roasting, it's building up all this energy inside. And then similar to a popcorn.
Yeah.
That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah, it will
expand.
It expands at some point, and it.
That's what softens it enough so
mm-hmm.
you can grind
yep.
it.
Yes. Yeah.
You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Thanks for joining us here. On 89.1 FM, WLPR, Lakeshore Public Radio. We're sitting here in studio live in Maryville with Small Town Coffee Shop. We got Elizabeth, and we got Annette owners and operators of small town coffee shop. They also brought in some gift cards. So if you give us a call at 769-9577, they'll be happy to send you one. Well, we'll send it. They'll just give it to me.
Right? You're going to send it.
I'll send it. You know, when I went to your shop, you had this bar. It brand new, looked beautiful. But you had something that was cool. I've never seen it before, Sharon. You know how you see espresso machines and this machine that sits on the counter and it costs probably $50, $60, $100,000. I don't know how much they are, but they're expensive.
Yes, they are.
Okay. Yours is like all concealed and looks like just a little spout coming out of the counter. Can you explain how your espresso machine works? And
yes, it works very similar to a traditional espresso machine, but all the guts are underneath the bar. It's made by Modbar, and that's actually in Fort Wayne, which is really close to us. So there's a pretty amazing company out there that makes those. They partner with Lamarzo Co., who's been making espresso machines for a very long time. And it's a really, really consistent machine. It's got a couple boilers that heat the steam wand and the espresso tap to extract consistent coffee. 9 bars of pressure on that espresso to get a nice crema and a smooth taste.
So what do you like to make a froth with? I used to like just to use 2% milk.
I'm a big believer in whole milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, an organic whole milk.
So the more cream, more fat content's better.
It's smoother. Mm-hmm. It froths a little nicer. We have oat milk too. We have skim milk. You know, we got other options, but I think the best drink is a nice creamy latte.
I like when I drink my coffee, I put heavy cream in there.
There you go, the breve.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. Breve.
You can order latte breve, and they'll make it with half and half.
Oh, really? Nice. I use 40% heavy cream.
You don't even have to eat breakfast if you do that.
No, you don't.
So you got your
amazing. Now, do you have like a signature coffee drink yet? I mean, something that has candy canes hanging out of it or anything like that?
You put dry ice and it smolders.
Yeah.
We just launched our holiday menu, and I would say a favorite on there has been the orange praline, which is really nice. We make all our syrups and sauces in-house.
That's neat, too.
Got a little orange zest on top.
Really?
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk about a little bit of, I guess, the back of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize this because I thought, you know, when we were talking that you got a lot of your pastries and stuff from chefs in the area.
We like to partner with chefs for the food. So we do some burritos from Provecho on the weekends, and we're going to switch that up a little bit. Some other local chefs, but pastries and sauces and things like that are in house.
So you also say you do gluten free there.
So yep, we got a really nice gluten free scone, and we're continuing to try to expand and develop that menu. I'm gluten free, which was a little sad news for me about 2 years ago. But my sister's a baker, and she really went to town developing and fine tuning our gluten free stuff because you know she loves me and she wants me to be able to eat sugar and all that.
so you have your sister doing bakery,
yep.
Gluten free items, and you also have a chef. You said,
yeah, good friend Steven. He has his culinary degree, and so he's right there with us in the kitchen. So
what's the most expensive bean that you purchase?
I think
do they range in prices?
They range. Which on our, if you're buying a bag from us, you'll see a range of prices on bags.
But for you to purchase to roast.
Right. Right now, our most expensive is our a Kenyan coffee we have, which is a super limited. I only bought 60 pounds of it, and once it's gone, it's gone.
Oh, that's cool. So sort of like it's funny, like me and Sharon have been doing this for now years, and it's funny how now the bean roasting is becoming a kind of a newer thing.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone, you know, the beer guys were making beer in the bathtubs.
Yep, that's right. And I was thinking of that when they were.
And now these girls
story.
Were telling me how they're just like roasting in their attic or something
as
like
a
that.
Hobby.
As a hobby.
It was on a walk. A walk.
Really?
On the stovetop initially.
Really?
Yes.
How does it make your house smell? Isn't
not
when,
the greatest actually?
Isn't
really?
When you,
I would
yeah,
think it
no,
would be the
isn't
house.
When you roast a bean?
Like popcorn that went just a little too
yeah,
long.
Is, yeah, is that how it is when you smell the beans when they're roasting?
Yeah.
They're sort of like that. They got you know, when you're roasting, it's got not like the pleasant smell or the bouquet like you get when you roast a pot of coffee.
When you actually smell it, especially once it's done, it smells
amazing,
like coffee. Like
oh,
amazing.
Really?
But it's the afterburn and the smoke that's coming off. That
now you have to watch that, don't you?
You can't
just walk away from that.
No. Yeah.
No. And why can't you? For the people at home that are roasting beans out of woks.
Beans will literally start on fire.
They will start on fire.
Yeah.
And what happened? You can't use them once they start on fire, huh? They're done?
I mean, you could. I would recommend not.
Is it, wouldn't that be like a stout flavor. Or something like yeah. that? A
like
coffee
a,
stout?
Yeah. Charcoal detox powder.
Yeah. It'd be like Dark Lord Day, maybe. Yeah.
Now, you guys don't do anything decaf.
We do.
You do? Yeah. Now, how's that work?
Well, we love our decaf. It's a Swiss water process, organic Swiss water process, which means it's not... Decaf coffee is known for... It's some of the most chemicalized...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Coffee you can find. So ours is Swiss water, which means it's basically using water to decaffeinate the coffee. The beans themselves are organic, and then it's going through... I don't know if you would call that an organic process, but a natural process of decaffeination versus using a bunch of chemicals to process it. So I've had people with like stomach issues who can't drink coffee at all because coffee itself, even just in general, is one of the most...
acidic. It's fairly acidic.
Right, it's acidic.
It is, I was thinking of how it's grown. Like it's one of the most... You know this better than I do.
Yeah, it's treated with a lot of chemicals to prevent rust and... lots of sort of challenges the farmers have in their field. So part of what we try to do is partner with small farms, and we can know exactly what they're using. And when we don't know that, we try to buy fair trade and organic just to make sure there's a certification. And we certainly understand kind of the hard place the farmers find themselves in. Certain countries like Costa Rica has a lot of challenges with like a fungal rust. But then they've got options, so they can use a cheap, really aggressive chemical that's like a red label and it's pretty dangerous, or they can use a yellow or a green label. So we try to make sure our farmers are using the green label. And that's important to us because we want to know what we're putting in our bodies, and we feel like our guests feel the same way.
How do you guys make sure that the coffee, the beans you're buying are fair trade?
It comes with a certification. And then with our direct trade, I feel like we can take it even a step further. So sometimes even with fair trade, let's say the guy who's selling it out of country, he might get a great price for the beans, but he might not always give the farmers who deliver the beans to him for processing a fair price. Whereas like with the Farmers Project and Marianella, she oversees the whole thing. So the farmers get to dictate the price that they want, versus someone with a lot of power in the community saying, I know this is high quality coffee, but I can only give you X dollars, you know? And we love that because we want coffee to be around forever. Sure. We always want there to be incentive for the next generation of farmer growers.
Folks, we only got maybe, 15 minutes left? So join the conversation, 769-9577, and get a gift card from Small Town Coffee Shop out of Crown Point. You guys, let's talk about some of your products. Mm-hmm. Do you guys steep coffee? Isn't it called steeping?
The cold brew? Is that what you're talking about? Yes.
So do you guys make it and sell it? Or, I mean, like store it? Or how do you, doesn't that take overnight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we cold brew our coffee for 24 hours. And then we sell it in concentrate in our growlers, kind of like the latte you've got over there. We also serve it in the shop. And then we also make a nitro coffee out of it, which is really
delicious.
What's
a nitro
coffee?
Super
smooth. So we pressurize a keg with nitrogen, and it infuses the coffee. And so it sort of has the texture of coffee with cream, but without any additional calories.
Now, do you guys do pour-overs?
Mm-hmm. Pour-overs, Chemex.
Now, what makes it – I mean, when you do a pour-over, is the bean ground different than – if you were just to throw it in the coffee machine?
Yeah, each brew method requires its own kind of grind setting. So a French press would be coarser because it uses a metal filter. And then the pour over, like V60, sort of, it's like a little, it's shaped like a V.
Right.
That you can sit right on your mug. That uses a pretty fine grind. And then the Chemex is another pour over style that uses a coarser, more French press style bean because its filter is really fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you put a real fine grind in there, it would take like 9 minutes for your coffee to drip through, and that'd be bad coffee. So and anyway, we've got brew guides on our website if you want to check that out.
Do you guys do Turkish?
We've talked about it. We don't. I do enjoy Turkish coffee. That's
now, how is Turkish coffee? Do they?
Yeah, what is special about that? I hear references to it, but I don't know anything about it.
So my understanding, I had the pleasure of going to Jordan once, and I drank a lot of coffee there, and I think that it's the same style. They grind it super fine. They actually just put it right in the pot, the water.
Right.
They boil it, usually add a little sugar and some cardamom, And they just boil it, and they let it sit for a minute, and the grounds settle. And you're not going to want to shoot that coffee because you'll drink a lot of grounds. But if you just sip it really slowly, it's really, really nice.
And the grounds stay to the bottom.
They do.
And yeah. then people read it afterwards.
Maybe so.
That's what they do. Do you ever hear that? They read the bottoms of the coffee cups?
Yeah. What? Like inside the cup?
Yeah.
I thought it was tea leaves.
Oh, that's another thing. You guys deal with tea?
We do. Yeah. We carry Reishi tea, a lot of nice fair trade and organic options there out of Wisconsin. I was familiar with them from my time at Stone Creek.
Now, is what has more caffeine? Ooh. Ounce for ounce. Yeah. An ounce of tea.
That's tough. I think a white tea might compete with coffee a little bit. Yeah. But we find that our coffee is really pretty highly caffeinated because we don't roast really dark. A lighter roast coffee has more caffeine.
That's what I hear. I hear like when you get a French roast, they've actually burnt a lot of the caffeine away from it.
Yeah, that's true.
So when you do the espresso, what bean do you use?
Our espresso is a blend of our Sumatran and Guatemalan coffees.
So how many, like when you do the espresso and you put in that pod, how many ounces go in that pod? Or does it even take, I mean, like, is it a half ounce? How much?
So we're roughly using about 20 grams of coffee in our double shots of espresso. And what is it, about 2 ounces?
Yeah, two ounces.
Our shots are about 2 ounces.
Somebody pours, has a regular coffee maker, what is it, 8 cup or so, how much do they usually put in there? So what I'm trying to say is, is that espresso, the amount you put in espresso, about the same as people use for a whole pot, but you're making only one little cup?
Espresso is actually about the same amount as you're getting in one cup of coffee.
Oh, okay.
At least the way that we do our brew methods. Coffee's a little funny where it really just matters on how much you're sticking in a pot. And that's all based on preference most of the time.
Yeah. For example, we use about 20 grams in that espresso shot.
Right.
We also use about 20 grams in a 10-ounce cup of coffee if we were going to do a pour over.
Okay.
So I think sometimes you feel that caffeine hit more from espresso, especially if you're just doing a double shot because you can drink it more quickly.
I see.
Cold brew and the nitro are the same way, so you just down it so fast, and then you're like, whoa, I'm ready to go for the day. You know?
Right.
So, like, you do some baking there. Are you using your coffee products in it? Are you doing any espresso?
We haven't yet. We've talked about it.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Do you have like, a full-line kitchen back there, or...?
For the most part. We don't have a huge stove, but we have all the...
Nice oven and
all
that.
So, what's coming down the line? I mean, you're freshly opened. Are you thinking seasonal in any way? I mean, we got Christmas coming up. I mean, are you doing anything special for Christmas, like peppermint coffee or something like that?
We got a nice peppermint mocha, some chocolate shavings on top.
Can people get... Christmas gifts? Do you have like gift packages and stuff?
We have some nice mugs, sweatshirts, that kind of thing. Gift cards, of course. And we have our Red Ryder coffee.
I like that Red Ryder.
That's cool.
Inspired by a Christmas story. And it tastes like Christmas in a cup. So
you were talking about the Christmas items. You sell your beans?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Now, are they right now? I know you've just started. You're selling in-house right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to expand out there to sell some beans anywhere else?
So we just opened.
I know that.
A month ago.
I'm pushing it. I'm pushing the envelope.
We love that.
I got a fuller answer for you. We've actually been roasting for 4 years.
Yeah.
So we primarily have been doing wholesale and a little online retail and some markets here and there for four years now.
Really? Where were you roasting at?
We were roasting out of Windmill in Dyer.
Oh, I had them on the radio.
Yeah, okay. They were kind enough to let us set up there. So for 4 years we've been primarily doing wholesale. We're in Provecho in Crown Point.
Right.
Couple of the other cafes, Grindhouse, Cafe Fresco.
I've had him on Gabe. Yeah.
That's
great.
So quite a few local places that are using our beans. And then we just recently got into Whole Foods.
Really?
We should be on their shelf there in the next
month or so.
In Schererville.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow. Who's the marketer? Who's the one going out there and getting this? Is it you, Annette?
That's Annette.
We both work on that, but that's primarily my area.
That's very, very good. That's impressive. That's very impressive. Yeah. So if you were to drink a cup of coffee, what vessel do you like to drink out of? See, myself, you're gonna laugh. But I just like a styrofoam cup.
I love a good ceramic mug.
Yeah, ceramic mug.
Yeah.
I'm drinking out of plastic right now, and it still tastes good to me. Sharon, what do you prefer?
Well, I like a ceramic mug as well. But, you know, sometimes if you're on the road, you know, maybe like a thermos or something, or, you know.
Something with a lid that doesn't leak.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's the tough part.
Yeah, my water canteen there. That I had from the Cub Scouts. I use that.
Yeah, something like that.
So what's trending, ladies? What's trending out there? I mean, and you guys are in the coffee world. I mean.
And I am curious about what your future plans are.
Tell us what's trending. What are the young hipsters drinking and? What's going?
They love a coffee that isn't over roasted. You know, that really highlights the more delicate flavors. Mm-hmm. We're finding a lot of people just wanting to come in and take the time to slow down and enjoy the slow bar. It's open every afternoon from 12 to 3.
What's it called? The slow bar?
Slow bar. Yeah, that's all our pour overs and French press, and you can try different roasts and different brew methods. So that's a lot of fun. You know, you can find your favorite roast and then try it in a French press or pour over.
Excuse my ignorance. What's a pour over? I know you guys have been talking about it.
It's just
Sharon, where you been?
What is that?
You're only like, I can touch you.
What is that?
It's a, you pour the coffee over. They use a nice kettle that has a little gooseneck, so it's real easy to control the flow of the coffee, and you're just real intentional about how much water you're pouring on. At what temperature? So you control.
What is a good temperature for coffee and brewing?
That is a great question.
Except for the espresso. I'm not. What is that? Almost like 212 or something like that?
202.
Yeah, something like that. Right before boiling.
Yep. And I would say brewing, you know, coffee is the same way with a pour over. You know, you don't want anything over about 205 or you're going to burn it. So if you don't have a thermometer, you can set it to boil and then just add like a splash of water or give it a few minutes to cool off. But thermometer helps.
Future plans? I know you're fresh, but everyone, believe me, 9 years ago when I opened my restaurant, I thought I was going to have 25 of them by now, but I still have one.
And that has like three lifetimes of stuff planned out for us. So
I guess our first plan is just to keep, to remain consistent, always just strive to give the best service and roast the best coffee where we're at. But, you know, we have talked about trying to bring small town coffee to other locations. So maybe finding someone who has a passion for their community and helping them open.
Does it have to be a small town, though?
You know, I think a small town is anywhere that you have a community of people wanting to connect and care for each other. We all have our own small towns.
We got people waiting on the line. Who we got, Sharon?
We've got Sandra from Griffith.
Sandra. Right. Hi, Sandra.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've been out there. I've been at the Grindhouse Cafe before. And we've had a few people out there, like Tammy's Bakery and stuff like that. So you got a question for our coffee ladies here?
Yes, I have a couple questions. I wonder where they're located in Crown Point. And I was also really excited to hear about the gluten-free desserts, and I wondered if there are other gluten-free items on their menu.
Yeah, we have a couple in development. We haven't released them yet. We primarily, our toffee scone has been a big one. We have a shortbread we're working on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Anything bakery is hard. Baking from gluten-free, that's the tough part,
it is a
isn't
challenge.
It?
So
I'm trying at home. And
I know, it can be discouraging,
I'd rather buy
right?
from you.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Yep.
Where are you located, she wants to know.
Like yeah. Are you familiar with Crown Point?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so on Main Street, there's a military tank parked just north of the square. Mm-hmm. If you turn by that, so turn east, we're
right,
a block or two just down from that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't miss
north
us.
North on the block.
Yep.
And it's a big, white, beautiful building, and it's really, okay. I think, you know, when you visit, you're going to enjoy it. It's a really cool-looking
okay.
place. What kind
fantastic.
Of coffee do you like?
Thank you.
What's your favorite drink?
What kind of coffee do you
yeah,
like?
Yeah, what's your favorite drink?
We usually do a cold brew at home.
Nice.
But I also really like tea.
You like tea?
I've been,
well,
on a tea kick lately.
Well, Elizabeth and Annette from a small town coffee shop is giving me a gift card, and the station is going to mail it out to you so you can enjoy an afternoon in downtown Crown Point. It's become a beautiful city.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Who else we got there?
Thanks,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Yeah, we have Tom Lounges on the phone.
Tom Lounges?
Right, let's see.
Hey, guys. How
hey,
you there, doing?
Tom.
Hey.
What's up?
Well, Nick, as you know, I'm a coffee addict. I've been drinking a pot or two a day since I was like 12. But one of the things that I was interested in when I was young and first started drinking coffee, I spent a lot of time in Michigan with fishermen and hunters and things. And we would actually, you know, cook the coffee on the campfire, which made it pretty stout and pretty strong.
Right.
And the guys used to temper it or mild it up with something called chicory. And I really liked the flavor that it brought. It was a kind of a woodsy flavor, for lack of a better term. I didn't know if anyone was still making coffee or brewing coffee with chicory added. It's some kind of plant, I understand.
I've had it in New Orleans before, Tom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that still something that coffee people and shops are using?
You guys ever hear of chicory?
I haven't.
Annette? I mean, Elizabeth.
It's been a while. I used to drink Café Le Monde.
Café Du Monde.
Du Monde, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I used to drink that with a good friend, Gloria. We would have that, you know. It's a nice, kind of like you said, it has a nice, smooth flavor. But I haven't heard a tick about it for 5 to 8 years.
Elizabeth?
Oh, wow. Because I'd like to find that again. That would bring back a nostalgic, sure, you know, palate memory for me.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you where to actually look, but I have heard. It's actually a little trendy right now where people are trying to get away from coffee. So they're just brewing chicory. And I don't know if there's companies out there that are actually mixing them, but I'm sure I definitely know there's companies out there just selling the chicory as coffee. But I couldn't actually, it's not something I actually enjoy, so I couldn't point you in the right direction.
Okay.
But if you Googled
you guys
it, I'm
don't
sure
have anything connected to that.
We
then.
Don't know.
Tom, you're always hanging out in Crown Point now, aren't you?
I spent a lot of time in Crown Point and a lot of time with coffee in my hand.
These ladies here,
I made you a pot.
These ladies here have a gift card for you that we're going to send out to you, so you can get a good cup of coffee from Small Town Coffee
Shop.
I didn't
know if anyone would remember that, but Sharon,
I never even heard about it before.
You've had it. It was a nice additive, I guess you'd say, and it gave it a different kind of flavor. It was a warm, robust flavor, mm-hmm, but it milded out the coffee you'd cook over a campfire, which can be pretty gross.
Yeah, you know. Remember that.
So, I think I'll have a good cup there when I stop out then. Thank you so much, ladies.
Bye, Tom.
All righty. Bye, Nick. Bye, Sharon.
Bye.
That's our own Tom Lounges here from the Midwest.
Yeah, you know what, though? I don't have his address for the...
That's fine. We know where to find him on Tuesdays and Fridays.
I've got his number.
So we're drawing to the end of the show. We only got a couple minutes left.
Yeah,
no, it sounds finished.
Fast.
So you guys got the last words here before we sign off. What do you got to say, Annette? What do you want to tell the people, all your fans out there?
Just that we're really grateful for the warm welcome that we've had. We've only been open a month, and it's just been amazing. And, we look forward to seeing you out at the shop again.
How about you, Elizabeth?
I'd say the same. We've been pretty overwhelmed with just the support of the community and all our friends.
Well, you
know,
I didn't ask you. You guys do sell the coffee beans whole there, right?
Mm-hmm. We do.
So you have them all. Are you guys planning on doing any markets? If they open up some farmer markets, you planning going out there
we
and selling?
We love farmer markets, but we have been so busy.
Really?
Just kind of doing our own thing. And so maybe down the road as our staff grows, we could find somebody to help us with that.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask, you guys have staff yet?
Yep. We got a great growing team.
Nice.
About 5 people.
So, can people order online from you?
They can. Smalltown.coffee. Real easy to remember, and we try to make the ordering as easy as possible.
Okay, give us your hours of operation and your phone number.
Yep. So we're open Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 3, and then on the weekends we're open from 8 to 3. And the phone number is 219-323-3948.
Well, Sharon, we want to thank the ladies from Small Town Coffee Shop out of mm-hmm. Crown Point. We had Annette and Elizabeth joining us here in the studio. Talked all about coffee. And you know what I encourage people, you know, they're always looking for like a different gift. Well, they need to stop by there. They'll get eye candy because it's a beautiful shop, beautiful area. But they pick up a gift card, pick up a bag of coffee beans that have been roasted, coffee cup, t-shirts. Make your own little basket. Maybe they'll make a basket for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a place to go visit. I encourage everyone to visit Small Town Coffee Shop out of Crown Point. And we had some great coffee here today.
I know. It's delicious. It goes down so easy.
Well, ladies, again, thank you for stopping in the studio.
Thanks
we're all
so
busy. I know you guys are busy. And Sharon, thanks for helping me out, being my sidekick here for another hour of Let's Eat. So everyone out there, have a great afternoon. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Yasu!
Lord, just keep your fingers crossed, and if you believe in prayer.